and his name is Matt, and I don't have his home group here.
From Hugs Instead of Drugs from Lake Trev.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, I didn't know I was first. I'm Matt, and I'm an addict. How's everybody doing today? This is nice and small. I like this. I thought there was going to be a whole bunch of people. Yeah, that's it. That's probably why nobody showed up. I've never spoken nothing like this, so I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to be saying up here. I'm Matt, and I'm an addict. You know, that's all I know to say. I haven't found it necessary to do any dope since November 3rd of 91. You know, and that's not to impress anybody, you know, it's just, so I remember where I came from. Greg asked me to do this, and he said, so on attitudes and behaviors, I didn't know it was about behaviors, because I don't behave too well. I'm not sure why he asked me to do this. Maybe because of my attitude, I guess. I try not to take things too serious in life anymore. You know, I know a lot of people in NA take everything real serious. I take my recovery real serious. I try to remember where I came from. But pretty much, you know, I woke up sucking air today, and I'm glad that I did that. You know, it wasn't too long ago I'd wake up breathing, and I wasn't happy about that. That's kind of pissing me off back there, but that's beside the point. I don't sweat the small shit anymore. You know, I've worked the steps with my sponsor. I found out who I am. And I try, there's enough bad shit's going to happen in my life, I'm sure. You know, but I've been through a lot of other bad stuff. Has anybody here been through anything bad in their life? Huh? No. What the hell are you doing here then? You know? We all lived in hell when we were out there in our addiction. Ain't no use suffering while you're in here. I try to have a good time. I don't know what else to say. I didn't prepare anything. I try to act as a responsible member of society nowadays. When I was out there in my addiction, this shit's blowing everywhere. I lived just the way you lived. I did what I had to do to get what I needed. And I took nobody else's feelings into consideration with that, you know. Today I do try to do that. I hear a lot of people bitching and moaning in the rooms. You know, I don't have no money, I don't have this, I don't have that. My attitude towards that is go get a job. You know, that's what I had to do. I don't know what else to say about it. I still remember the pain, though. You know, I can't forget that. And that's why I go to meetings, you know. I watch the newcomers coming in and suffering, and I listen to that, you know. And I'm grateful I don't have to do that today. You know, I can wake up and be happy about life today. I think gratitude has a whole lot to do with it. You know, I'm grateful for the little things that I have in life today. I have a family that cares about me. I got friends that care about me. You know, it wasn't too long ago, wasn't anybody really cared about me, including myself. I don't know, man, I'm running a blank here. That's all I got. Thanks. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for sharing, man. Our next speaker is Kevin. I don't have Kevin's home group written here either.
I'm an addict. My name's Kevin. And it's just kind of spur of the moment thing for me too. I like to think that part of my ego would like to think, oh, well, you know, Greg grabbed me because you know he likes my recovery, or whatever. But like, I think that the guy canceled or didn't show up, or you know. So I've been clean since January 7th, 1990. You know, and it's really a miracle for me to be standing here today. Alive and clean, and beyond that, you know, a person that's changed a lot, and a person that's very, very blessed in gifts that I received through this program, Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I'm always a little weirded out or whatever by like these specific topic meetings or something like that. If it's like second step or the 10th step or eighth tradition or whatever, I can kind of like, I've got some framework to you know, to work off of there, because I've worked those steps and I've tried to understand those traditions and those aspects of the program. But you know, when you grab just a couple words and put them as a topic, it's a little more bizarre or whatever. But you know, the one thing that I know is that I've got experience in this program. You know, like Matt, you know, I've been around a little bit, and as a result of that, and not just being around, but taking this program to heart and trying to apply it into my life, you know, things have happened to me, and I've had I've got experience living life without the use of drugs, which is something I didn't have when I walked in here. I don't know, his attitudes, behaviors. When I came here, I was just fucking desperate. You know what I'm saying? And I was a punk kid. I got clean when I was 18 years old, and I didn't want to hear anything anybody had to say. You know, I didn't relate to you because I didn't do 10 years in state prison. I didn't, you know, smuggle heroin up my ass across the border or anything like that, you know. And those are the kind of things that stuck out to me that I heard, and part of my disease that is denial wanted me to distance myself from the fellowship, you know, and I struggled with that for a couple of years. You know, in fact, I first came into the program not by choice, but when I was only 15 years old, you know, and I really, you know, I had no desire to stay clean. And so when I finally bounced in and out a couple of times and realized that even though I was young, I had this disease of addiction, and every time I'd go back out, my life would get significantly worse, I surrendered. And for the last, you know, 12 and a half or so years, I mean, I have not had to take anything. I've wanted to during this time at different spots. Because NA works, I haven't wanted to for a long time, but especially early on, I struggled, you know. But I came here for that reason. It's just I was just miserable, and I didn't want to live the way I was living. You know, I was tired of being dead inside, and I was tired of like just the rat race of stealing to get what I needed and hiding and, you know, looking over my shoulder and police and, you know, the disgust and disappointment I put my family through. I just didn't want to live that way anymore. And that's why I came here. You know, I had no inkling to want to change. You know, I just wanted to come here and stop living that way and not be miserable and not be sick and not be, you know, just caught up in the lifestyle, you know. I came here for relief from that. And what I learned early on at some point is that I got to change. If I want to stay clean, if I want to, you know, it says right in our reading how it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, there's certain steps that we take. I used to be really good at quoting literature, but and what we have to offer for me is a lot more than just not having a drug in me. You know what I mean? I managed before I got here to stop for a chunk of time here or there if I had to, or if I was up against the wall or backed in the corner. toward the end, you know, I couldn't stop on my own. But there were you know, periods of time where I was able to do that, but I was still the same miserable, conniving, scheming dope addict. And you know, so after getting here and you know, shaking sick off or whatever, you know, I realized, and you all told me that, you know, if you want to stay here, you got to change, you know. And like I said, I used to be rude, boy. I would like quote everything and tell you if you was breaking traditions and all that kind of shit, but I'm a lot less able to do that. Time's gone on, but somewhere in the basic text talks about recovery being an active change of our old ways and ideas or something like that, you know. And that was the only thing that really came into my head when I thought about this topic of attitudes and behaviors, is like my old ways and ideas or whatever, ways being behaviors and ideas being my attitude. You know, I came here, you know, I didn't trust anybody. I was a victim. You know, anyone in a position of authority was out to fucking get me, you know, and it was my job, you know, to protect myself, to be aware at all costs of my surroundings, because something was going to happen and I was going to be set up, or, you know, I mean, that's like, you know, when you live the lives that we live before we get here, that's what it is, you know. And and so, you know, the attitudes that I carry around with me were very much related to protecting my addiction and protecting my drug use, you know. And part of that was just lying and living a dishonest life, and you know, acting out in anger and hostility, you know, anything to protect that. Family member, parents and stuff would want to, you know, confront me about, you know, that $200 gone. What are you blaming me for? I didn't, you know what I mean? And so that anger and the lies and everything, you know, was something that is very necessary for me to have in my life if I want to be an active drug user. But if I want to be in recovery, I got no use for those things. I really don't. And what those kind of attitudes do for me is they keep me sick. They make me sick and they keep me sick. And for me and for us as addicts, you know, when I'm sick and I'm not living by spiritual principles, and I get myself into a jam and into a corner that I feel like I can't get out of, you know, what automatically always happened to me to get relief from that was I got high. You know, I would get high, and then I could, you know, not worry about, not deal with whatever it is, you know, that's going on in my life. And so if I don't want to find myself in that spot, I got to change, you know. That's what you taught me here, is that I got to change. And the 12 steps aren't, you know, the first step isn't repeated 12 times, you know what I mean? The second step introduces me to the idea that, you know, there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, you know. And that third step gives me the ability to begin that relationship, to nurture and develop a relationship with the God of my understanding. And then I have to take a hard look at myself. And that was probably one of the most significant steps for me, was doing that in the fourth step, you know. And those steps began that process of change for me, my attitudes, you know. I no longer needed to be as deceptive. You know, I ain't gonna stand up here and tell you, you know, I never lie and I'm honest. In fact, my home group last week, Saturday morning eye-opener, we meet 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings in Charleroi, Pennsylvania. And we read out of the Just for Today booklet, the reading for that day, and we discuss it. And honesty was a topic last Saturday. And, you know, I could say that, well, it was funny, at that point in time, of course, it was like about 8:30 by the time it came around to me. I said I hadn't lied yet that day, and it's probably true, but it was only 8:30 in the morning, you know. But that honesty is so important for me. You know, if I want to change, and if I want to be a member of this fellowship and be in recovery, not just have clean urine, but to be in recovery, you know, I've got to be honest. I've got to live a life of honesty. You know, and for me, that doesn't mean that I need to run around and tell everybody that I meet that I'm a drug addict, you know. In fact, you know, it's been my experience that sometimes it's best that people don't know that. Early on, I didn't know that, you know, and I had to learn the hard way. Honesty for me isn't going to a meeting and telling everybody everything that goes on in my life, you know. But damn it, I better be telling somebody, you know, and I've got a sponsor and I've got a support system that you told me I needed to get when I got here. And I use that as a resource for me in order to help practice honesty, you know. All these concepts that I've learned in recovery are things that need practice. I need to use them in my life. And if I don't, it's like any other skill or any other ability that I have, it gets rusty, it gets old, I'm less likely to be good at it, you know. And and you know, I'm here to tell you that, and anyone that's been around, you know, any length of time knows this, that I have to continue to do this. You know, at some early point in my recovery, I probably thought, like, hey, you know, once you get 5 years, you got it made or something, you know? And I've got to continue to do this. I learned that, you know, through a variety of experiences. You know, it was just a little over a year ago, I found myself in a spot. I had about 11 and a half years clean, and I wasn't doing what I'm supposed to do to be clean. You know, and part of me, you know, after staying clean for so while, in some ways, it's almost like I can get into autopilot or cruise control, you know, and get comfortable and complacent in that I haven't had a desire to use in a while, so I'm okay. I haven't, you know, done nothing crazy in a while, so I'm okay. And I found myself in a period of time of trying to work a program by not working a program. I hadn't had a home group for a stretch. I wasn't going to meetings regularly, you know, and that disease, the part of my disease that wants to protect my sickness and wants to protect my, you know, my bad attitudes and behaviors was telling me, you're going to meetings. But I'd go like on Monday night to Manesson, and then I might not go to a meeting for a week. And then on Wednesday night I'd go to, you know, out in Washington. And then I'd go to like some kind of an NA function and go to two meetings in one day, then not go for a week, you know. And you know what? That's not regular meeting attendance. That's irregular meeting attendance. You know, what you guys taught me was that I need to attend meetings regularly. You know, it didn't tell me that I had to go to meetings every day. And to be honest with you, I struggled for a good couple years after I hit a certain point with feeling guilty that I wasn't going to meetings every day. Like that I had to do that, and I had to call my sponsor every day. I had to like be on all these committees because I'd done that for so long. You know, the first 5-6 years of my recovery, I lived in what I call like an NA bubble. I did nothing outside of NA. You know, I didn't, there was a whole big world out there, but I had just experienced and chased my, and I probably needed to do that. You know, because as full of shit as I was when I got here, I needed to stay that close to the fellowship to get past that point of, you know, of early recovery. But then as things changed for me and I made different life choices and I, you know, went back to school and had night classes and all this and that, I started feeling guilty about that. And that began this period, actually, that lasted a few years of feeling a little disconnected and getting back involved and whatnot. But I reached this point last year where, you know, I was at Keener Park in Latrobe. And there was a concert, some kind of a festival thing. It was family-oriented. It was like a Sunday afternoon, I want to say. Maybe it was Saturday, I don't know. And there were these guys all loaded up. I'm there with my wife and my boy and her sister and her sister's little boyfriend, a couple of, they're all college kids, you know, and they're having a nice time, you know. And there's this guy. He's bumping into me and that, you know what I mean? And I could, like, you know, I'm thinking, we can move. We just move our whole little operation over to some other part of the park, a big park, you know, a lot of room. I could get a security guy and say, hey, this guy's all fucked up and he's bothering us. You know, no, that ain't what I did. No. I sat there, let this attitude start to change in me, you know, because I didn't have the tools. I wasn't practicing the tools of this program. I wasn't going to meetings regularly. I wasn't using my sponsor regularly. I didn't have a home group, you know. I wasn't telling on myself. You know, when you're not going to meetings, you're not doing the things regularly, utilizing a sponsor and support group, I'm not being honest. I'm not talking about what's going on with me. That's something I need to do to stay here. So what do I do? Man, this guy wants to give my kid a drink of his pop. Next thing I know, I got my kid in my arm, and I got this guy grabbed up to him and fucking kill him. 11 and a half years clean. kids crying, my wife's looking at me like I just murdered somebody, you know. And I'm standing there, and I'm like, holy shit, look what I become here. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. I'm clean. I'm in recovery. People respect me. You know, I wear a tie Monday through Friday, and people that don't know I'm an addict really don't know I'm an addict. They probably wouldn't believe me if I told, you know. And that's just like sort of part of who I am in these different aspects of my life. But at that moment in time, I was a raving lunatic because I wasn't taking care of my program. You know, 11 and a half years clean. So it was like a slap in the face and a wake-up call for me that, hey, doesn't matter how long I haven't taken a drug. You know, being in recovery and being clean for me are two different things. And if I'm comfortable with acting that way, well, then I guess I don't need to go to meetings and stuff. But I'm not. You know, I've developed a conscience here. I've developed a sense of self here that I don't want to be that guy. That's the guy that got high. That's the guy that showed up here 18 years old. And here I am after working this program for all this time, acting like I did the first day I showed up, you know. So what did I do? I surrendered. You know, I surrendered to the way that I was working my program. I renewed my relationship with my sponsor. I got a home group, which had been a home group, but I just would show up. I was the guy that would come, you know, once every other month and get his coin, you know what I mean? And I started going to more meetings. I got plugged in. You know, and I made a decision to jump on the convention committee last year because I knew from past experiences with serving on the convention committee that it's a very involved thing, especially up to the last couple months before the convention. So I was at committee meetings on Sundays. I was on the phone with other addicts dealing with convention business. And, oh, by the way, I had a shitty day, and I feel kind of fucked up today. And, you know, and it got me plugged back in, you know. It's like my friend Bob says, you know, we can jumpstart our recovery at any time. We don't have to wait till we go back out and pick up, you know. And that's what I did, you know. And since then, I haven't had to resort back to that exact same behavior. And I stand here, and if I want to be honest, no one here really knows me that well. But, you know, just a couple weeks ago, I threw a hot dog at the wall at my house, you know. And I hadn't gone. I missed like a whole week without. I missed my home group because we went out of town. And I didn't get to a meeting that week. And something happened. I had a long day, and my wife came home from work, and I had football practice for my little boy. And I got a little baby at home, too, which, you know, she takes up a lot of energy, you know. If anyone has a three-month-old or has been there, you know what I'm talking about. And I was hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and fucked up, you know what I mean? And my wife walked out of the room after she said something I didn't want to hear, and I threw a hot dog at the wall, you know. And again, I hit that same spot, like, oh, my God, you know. Now, I'm happy to say that, you know, today it was a hot dog. I'm not proud of that. You know, when I was clean, I put my fist through windows and I put a hammer to my car and, you know, that kind of stuff. But you know, what I had to do is I did what I know how to do. I prayed about it. I got down and I said, you know, what the hell am I doing? I made amends. I worked my 10-step with my wife. She doesn't need to live with a lunatic. You know, she's not an addict. She never bothered with being an addict. So why the hell she has to put up with a miserable addict, you know? Especially when I have this program at my disposal to use. I guess, you know, what it all comes down to for me with dealing with these attitudes and behaviors is that, you know, by working the program in Narcotics Anonymous in the 12 steps, my whole life has changed. My attitudes, my behaviors, my goals, my dreams, you know, my ambition, you know, everything about me has changed as a result of working these steps. And for me, with being around here a while, if I want to continue to progress in life and progress in this program and to develop as a man and as a human being, I need to continue on this path of recovery. I can't stop. You know, oh, yeah, I worked all the steps and I, you know, the people that aren't in recovery, like some of my family members, they still don't really get why I still do this, you know what I mean? Because they think, like, well, you know, you're not that way no more. You should be done, you know. And they don't understand the nature of addiction being progressive and incurable and fatal. You know, how many people that I've watched die over the years, people that were close to me that went back out, you know, a guy who I really respected when I came around, who went back out after having like 12, 14 years in jail, you know. That's the reality of this disease. And that's my destiny, should I choose not to practice these principles in my life, you know. And it doesn't matter how long you've been around, you know. I mean, and when I act in the, when I hit that spot, you know, last summer, it's funny, you know, that guy Bob I mentioned, I picked that guy up 2 years ago, 3 years ago, took him to detox, and he was, and he went into cardiac arrest once we got to the hospital and almost died and was unconscious for a few days. And I watched him go from that point and grow into a recovering addict, and I really respect his recovery. And along with, you know, me acting like an idiot last year, you know, Bob would say, hey, Kevin, I'm worried about you. You know, and, you know, being that I was involved in a full-blown, you know, attitude problem, fuck this guy now. You know, I fucking saved his life. I've been going to meetings before he even heard of NA. You know what I mean? That's what part of my disease that wants to protect the sickness was thinking. You know, and then it was just like a week or so later that I did that. I'm like, God damn, you know, he knew, it doesn't matter how long, but he knew what was going on with me, because he's an addict, and it doesn't matter if we've been clean a month, 6 months. The only really difference is that you got more experience doing this stuff, but it's not like you do it better than some, you know, than you do it, you know, when you have less time, you know? And, I don't know. You know, it's just, I'm grateful, and grateful for the fact that I didn't have to wait till I went back out. It didn't have to get that bad for me to surrender to this disease all over again, you know. And this disease is not just about using drugs for me. This disease was acting out and grabbing that guy up and making my kid looked at me like with fear, and that's never happened. My kid's never seen me high, you know. That's never happened, where he looked at me like, oh my God, I felt like a murderer or something, you know. All I did was, and I'm, you know, I'm just trying to protect my family, right? We could have moved out of the way. I could have got a security guy, say, hey, these guys are bothering us. You know, no, Mr., no meetings for 3 weeks, and no sponsor phone calls for a month, and no home group, and no prayer, and no steps and stuff. He's going to take care of this business, you know. And like I said, it gets better for me as I practice. As I practice on a continual basis, that kind of behavior and those kind of attitudes are not a part of my life, you know. And it's interesting that when I'm in a good space, you know, as I feel like I haven't for a little while now, while I've been, you know, diligent in practicing my program, it's so funny when you see someone else stuck there, you know. And I deal with the public in the work that I do. And in fact, I work for the public. You know, I work in a high school. And yesterday, this guy came in, you know, to change his kid's schedule for the school year. And he like wanted to kill him. And I never met the guy. I never did nothing to him, whatever. He just walked in like with this puffed out chest, and I was just like, my God, you know, I don't have to live that way today. You know, I take it in stride. And you know, my partner works like, oh, so I feel bad you had to put up with that. And I'm like, really, it makes me grateful. You know, it makes me grateful almost in the same way that I'm grateful that I don't have to be high today. You know, I'm grateful that I don't have to be miserable today. You know, and that misery with time in the program for me, you know, is it's readily available anytime I decide to stop following your guys' suggestions. You know, you all have laid out a path for me to follow that as long as I ask for help when I need to and give it back whenever I'm asked to, and to follow the lead that you've all laid out in front of me, I don't have to live that way. The same way I don't have to live high. You know, and, you know, if you're new, I wouldn't worry about it. Be mad. You need to be there. I needed to be there to learn. You know, we don't get better overnight. You know, every time I tried to, like, sort of the quick fix, and I'd go into rehab, I'd get out and call up ex-girlfriends and apologize and try and set everything straight and make it all right in, like, a week. You know, that stuff never lasted. It never worked, you know. The only way for this program truly work for me is for me to work it as it's laid out, as it's suggested, you know, to get that sponsor in my life who has worked the program and the steps, and get that sponsor to guide me. He's been on the road ahead of me. I don't know how to get where he's at without his help, you know. And that's all I need to do. And by doing those things, I don't have to suffer today. You know, it's up to me. It's like we have that choice to pick up or not. I got that choice to be a raving lunatic or a conniving schemer, you know, or I got the choice to be an honest person that's a, you know, what do we call a responsible, productive member of society, you know. The same choice exists for us here, and the tools and the steps help us not just stay drug-free, but also to just be in recovery and to wake up that spirit that the addiction killed and keep that spirit alive. So, you know, with the help of the program and you know, the God that I understand, you know, I'm just happy to say today, you know, I'm not suffering from my attitudes and behaviors. I could all change tomorrow should I choose to wake up and not practice this program. You know, that could change in an hour from now. Should somebody, you know, I saw someone up there. They pulled up around the house. They were with the registration, and they were taking nice time to back into a parking place just right. So, it was, you know, and while they were, like, pulling forward, someone, like, zoomed in and took their spot, you know. And so that's when for me, that's a test of, like, how well am I practicing this program. You know, am I going to get all flipped out and pass around, or am I just going to find another parking place? And I didn't see anybody yelling, so those guys must all be working a program, you know, recovery in their life. But, you know, I don't know. You know, it's a real honor to be here. I've come up here since the very first time they had it. I didn't get here last year, you know, and I missed something. I was just coming out of that part of being disconnected from my program, you know, and didn't make it up here. But I'm glad I'm up for the day with a friend of mine. We both got asked at the last minute, and he's at the other meeting, and glad to be here, you know, and thanks a lot, Matt, for what you had to share. You know, it was cool stuff, so that's all I have. Thanks.
I want to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us, and could somebody please read just for today's podium?
I'm an addict named Rick, my family. Just for today, tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using, and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today. Thanks.
Okay, we have a nice way of closing. We form a circle and close with the wee version of the Serenity Prayer.
Thank you.